One of the unique elements of the Yontif of Shavuos is the fact that the Torah doesn't tell us a calendar date for this Yontif, as it does when it comes to other Yomim Tovim, but rather the Torah instructs us the Tisfru Chamishim Yom. You count the Omer at the conclusion of the Imei Hasira, that is when the Yontif of Shavuos commences. In fact, we've discussed in the past that really the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is written twice in Chumash. It's written in Parshas Emor, repeated in Parshas Re'eh, with a very notable distinction. When it comes to Parshas Emor, the Torah tells us Usvartem Elokim in the plural. And the Gemara explains in the Sugya Menachos and Asamachei that that means Sfir Lechol Echod V'Echod. Everyone is obligated to count the Omer. That's why it's rendered in the plural. Tosfos in fact writes in Sukkah, when it comes to Dalet Minyan, the Torah tells us Lekachtem Lechem. And the Gemara is Doresh, that everyone is obligated to be notel the Dalet Minim. Tosus explains that is because the Pasuk is rendered in the plural, Ulakachtem. The Pasuk does not say Ulakachta. And yet, when you look in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah repeats the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and there the Torah tells us that Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach, in the singular, that you're obligated to count the Yemei HaSfira. And singular generally means that this is a chiyuv not incumbent upon each and every individual, not the many, but rather the unit. Knesset Yisrael as a whole is obligated to count the Omer, similar to counting the years of the Yovel. There the Torah tells us in Parshas Bahar, V'safarta Licha. It doesn't mean that everyone counts the years of the Yovel, but rather it means the Sanhedrin counts. Tosus writes, the Sanhedrin convenes each and every year, and they count the years of Yovel with a bracha. So when it comes to Sfiras Omer, a fascinating model, Usfartem Lachem and Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach. If you look in the Gemara, in that Sugya Menachos, Nav Samachay, and then continuing on Nav Samachav, that's where the Gemara mentions that this is one proof that Machras HaShabbos does not mean the day after Shabbos, but rather we begin counting Sfira the day after Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach. How is that the proof? The Gemara explains as follows, that if you were to argue that you count on Motzoi Shabbos, in no shape or form, in no way is Sfira Somer dependent on Beis Din. Everyone counts individually. And if I were to ask you, when do we begin counting, the answer is Motzoi Shabbos. But now that we know Machras HaShabbos means the day after Yom Tov, if I ask you, when do you begin counting? The answer is, you know, we don't yet know. It's a Sfira HaTluya BeBeis Din. Beis Din has to instruct us when the Yom Tov of Pesach will fall, and in turn, when we begin counting. So therefore, in a certain sense, Sfira HaOmer is dependent upon Beis Din, and that is what the Gemara writes, is the repetition of the Pasuk of Shiva Shavuos Tispalach, Veloshon Yachid. If you look in the Sifri, in Parshas Re'eh, Sifri argues a very great chiddush, and that is that there are dual mitzvahs of Sfiras HaOmer. One is a mitzvah incumbent upon each and every individual, but then there is also a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which is incumbent upon Beis Din, a two-fold counting. And why is it that Beis Din is obligated to count the Omer? The answer seems to be exactly this point. Because counting the Omer is critical, not merely as a mitzvah, but if I were to ask you, when is it that Shavuos begins? The answer is mentioned is you can't point to a calendar date, but the answer is the Yemei HaOmer. Yemei HaSfira determines the onset of Shavuos. And when you reach that point of Tisbru Chamishim Yom of Tzmimos Dihyana, when that unit is complete, then and only then Shavuos begins. And therefore, if it is up to the Sanhedrin of Mekadesh Yisrael Bahazmanim to tell us when it is that Shavuos will begin to be Mekadesh, to consecrate that Yantif of Shavuos, one could understand very well why there is a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which is dependent upon the Sanhedrin. They are the ones who are Mekadesh each and every Yantif, and therefore the mitzvah is written twice. The fact that this is true, that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is not linked to a date, but rather it is at the conclusion of Yemei HaSfira, is the basis of a chiddush that the Taz writes in Tav Tzali Dalet when it comes to the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yantif. When it comes to each and every Yantif, we have the mitzvah and certainly the possibility of beginning that Yantif early. But yet, a minhag Yisrael, based on what the Taz writes, that when it comes to Shavuos, we'll wait until Seis HaKokovim to daven. It's rare that you have an early minyan when it comes to Shavuos. And the reason is not simply because, well, you have to stay up and learn in any case the entire night, so therefore no one quite is in such a rush as they are when it comes to Shabbos and Yantif, but rather, the Taz writes, this is a function of Tmimos. That if the Torah insists that Shavuos will begin when the Yomei HaOmer are complete, so therefore, perhaps one could suggest that if you begin at an earlier time, one is encroaching on the earlier period of the Omer, and therefore that Chiddush of the Taz that we wait until Tzeis HaKochavim to daven Maariv. No doubt that this Taz is a great Chiddush. If you look, for example, in the Rosh, in the beginning of Arvei Tzachim and Perek Yud of Tzachim, the Rosh points out that there is a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos that applies in each and every Shabbos, each and every Yantiv, and that allows us to fulfill even the mitzvahs during that window of extension, the window of Tosefes, with the exception of Pesach, because the Torah goes out of its way and tells us the mitzvahs of the Seder have to be specifically balayla at night, and therefore the Rosh writes, at the Seder night we wait, but each and every other Yontif one can begin early. So on that Rosh, the Korban Asano points out that that seems to argue that even Shavuos one can begin early. And he points out this is against that Chiddush of the Taz that writes because of Tmimos Tihiyena that we're required to wait until Tzeis HaKochavim for Shavuos to commence. This Chiddush of the Taz that you have to wait until Tzeis, because if you're Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, you are encroaching, you are breaking the 49th day of the Omer in half, in a literal sense. This is based on the following understanding of the Taz. You know, there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yantiv. What exactly is accomplished when one begins Shabbos, begins Yantiv early? Certainly no doubt that by doing so, there is an Isra Malacha. A person cannot engage in Malacha during that window of Tosefes. The Gemara does mention as a Havamina, in Yuman Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, that Yochol Yehei Onesh Kares Al HaTosefes, that maybe one would reason that if a person begins Yom Kippur early, and you eat, or you drink, or you perform Malacha, in such a case, maybe there would be an Isser Kares, just as doing so on Yom Kippur proper. The Gemara answers that certainly is not the case. The Pasuk tells us, Kol HaShelo Se'une Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, even though there's a mitzvah to begin Yom Kippur early, nonetheless, during that window of time, there is no onesh of kares. That's explicit in the Gemara. A chiyuv to do so, but no iser kares. But the question is, what about when it comes to mitzvos halayla? Can one fulfill the mitzvos halayla during the time of Tosefes, or do we argue that that cannot be done? The Gemara tells us explicitly that one could daven Maariv early on Lel Shabbos, commonly done at this time of the year. The Gemara writes in Brachos and the Chov Zayin that Rav Soli Shal Shabbos Perev Shabbos, that Rav used to daven Maariv early. The Gemara raises the following issue: what about Kiddush? Can you make Kiddush early? The Gemara says yes, that Umekadesh, that Rav not only davened Maariv early, but he used to make Kiddush early as well. So the Gemara is explicit that one can daven early, one can make Kiddush early. What is not so explicit in the Gemara is what about Sudos Shabbos? Can a person have their Suda during that window of Tosefes? Let's assume this time of the year. So a person will go ahead and daven at the early minyan, and in such a case, he will go ahead and have his Suda. He wants to bench right before Shkia. Is that considered to be legitimate, or is that not? Why should one argue that Suda Shabbos is different? Because if you look in the Taz, in Siman Reish Sadi Aleph, the Taz points out the following. How is it that we know that we're obligated to have a Sudas Shabbos? So one of the Makaros is the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Kuf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Ichluhu Hayom, eat on this day. And therefore the Taz questions, is Tosefes sufficient? Maybe one could argue, well, if the Pasuk says that this mitzvah has to be fulfilled on this day, on the day of Shabbos, so therefore maybe that means on Shabbos proper and not during the window of Tosefes. And that, the Taz writes, is the view of the Sefer HaSidim, that is the view of the Marshal. In such a case, even though you can daven early, even though you can make Kiddush early, when it comes to Suda Shabbos, there one is obligated to go ahead and to see to it that you have at least a kazayis of pas after Tseisa Kochavim, make sure that the meal continues, Miros, Divrei Torah, in order that a kazayis of pas after Tseis HaKochavim. Why? Because the Pasuk says Ichlu Hayom, and therefore Tosefis is insufficient. That's the Chumrah of the Marshal. And the Taz disagrees. He maintains that that certainly is not true. If there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, the Chiddush that the Taz writes is Kfar Holach V'Cholach Alav Chobah Sayom, the previous day has come to an end, V'Havi Kalayla V'Machar Mamish, the new day has dawned, the new day has begun, and therefore it is considered to be the day of Shabbos. Tosefes empowers us to transform the day. It is no longer Friday, it is now Shabbos, and therefore it is now Ichlu Hayom, you are eating on the day of Shabbos itself. So fasting in Machlokas, Taz in the Marshal, very much La Halacha, whether this time of the year a person she's sure to have a Kazayas Apas on the days, or do you argue, no problem, you can bench before Shkia. According to the view of the Marshal, you're Mosik Mechala Kodesh, there's an Isser Malacha, there may be a partial Kedusha Sayom, but any mitzvah where the Torah insists that that mitzvah has to be performed on the day of Shabbos, on the day of Yontif, that is considered to be insufficient, and therefore you have to wait until Tseis HaKochavim. The Taz argues that is not true. So that's one place that the Taz and Marshal disagree, Siman Reis Sadi Aleph, regarding Suda Shabbos. If you look in the Siman regarding Shmini Atzeres, Taf Reis Samaches, there you find a lengthy discussion of the Taz, with a further machlokas between the Taz and the Marshal. There is a clear difference between the mitzvah of Sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah as opposed to Yeshiva B'Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. On Hoshana Rabbah, undeniably, a mitzvah daraisa of sitting in the Sukkah. What about when it comes to Shmini Atzeres and Eretz Yisrael? Certainly not. No Yeshiva Sukkah at all. In Chutz Laaretz, so the Gemara tells us, Mesav Yasninan, Baruch Elo Mavarchinan, we sit in Sukkah, but we do not recite the bracha. Some have the practice of not sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. How is that affected by Tosefes? A person begins the Yontif of Shmini Atzeres early. What exactly do you do when it comes to the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah? See, on the one hand, you'll be making Kiddush for Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a Yontif Bifnei Atzmo. So how is it that you're going to make Kiddush? You're going to recite a bracha of Leishei B'Sukkah? Reciting a bracha of Leishei B'Sukkah, declaring that it's still whole, when you're making Kiddush of Yontif, that one cannot do. That will degrade the mezalzel, the Kedusha Sayom of Shmini Atzeres. So that really is not an option. So what are you going to do? You're going to treat it as though it's Shmini Atzeres, but the sun is still shining. It's during the window of Tosefes. Can you honestly argue that Hoshana Rabbah has come to an end simply because that you have accepted upon yourself the Yontif of Shmini Atzeres? So the Marshal writes that that's a problem. If you're Mosif Mechala Kodesh, you really cannot argue that Shmini Atzeres has begun and Hoshana Rabbah has come to an end. In which case, what exactly do you do? You're going to do so in the house? How can you do so? Hoshana Rabbah? You're going to make Kiddush with Leishei B'Sukkah? How can you do so? It's now Kiddush of Shmini Atzeres. So therefore, the Marshal writes, wait. Do not go ahead and make Kiddush before Tseis HaKochavim in order to avoid, right, this tension. And therefore, wait until Tseis, and then you'll treat the day as Shmini Atzeres. But Tosefes is insufficient. And that's where the Taz writes that that is not true. That when you're Mosif Mechal HaKodesh, Havi Kalayla V'Machar Mamish, the new day has begun, and therefore you can treat it fully as though it is Shmini Atzeres. Tosefes has the ability to transform the day. These two areas where the Taz and Marshal argue are absolutely shitose. The Taz who argues that at this time of the year, one can be Mosif Mechal HaKodesh, and you can bench before Shki, and that's called Ichlu Hayom, because Tosefes converts, it transforms the day. The same thing is true when it comes to Hoshana Rabbah in Shmini Atzeres. The new day has begun, and therefore treat it as Shmini Atzeres. The Marshal argues that no, you have imposed an Isser Malacha, but the previous day remains in place, and therefore it is insufficient for Ichlu Hayom. You have to make sure to have part of the Suda Shabbos after Tzeis, and therefore you will be faced with this dilemma, with this tension, if you're Mosif Mechal HaKadosh when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, and therefore wait before you begin your Suda. So you see from both places that the Taz maintains when you're Mosif Mechal HaKadosh, the previous day has been cut in half, and therefore the new day has begun. That's the Taz when it comes to our Yontif now of Shavuos. You know, I arguing that when you're Mosif Mechal HaKadosh, the new day begins, the previous day is cut. That will help us when it comes to Tosefes and Suda Shabbos. That will solve that tension when it comes to Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres. But the Taz writes that will create a problem when it comes to Shavuos. Because when you're Mosif Mechal HaKodesh, if it really means the day has transformed and the previous day is severed, maybe that's insufficient. Because here the Torah goes out of its way and insists, the Taz writes on Tmimos Tihiena, that the unit of Svira must be absolutely complete, and therefore here, one is not to cut the previous day in half, but this is consistent with the Taz's understanding of the mitzvah of Tosefes. And therefore, the common minhag of waiting to daven Maariv until Pesach Avim. You know, there's a further Taz that fits in with this picture as well, and that's the Taz in Tafayin Beis in Hilchos Pesach. Here, the Mechaber writes the Chiddush that Ein Omrim Kiddush Ad Shetetzach. When it comes to the Seder night, we wait to make Kiddush until Seis. Why we do so is not so obvious. The fact that I have to wait until Tzeis for Matzah, okay, good. The Torah tells us that Erev Tochlu Matzahs, Korban Pesach, Va'ochlu Asabasar, Balayla Hazeh. I understand that when it comes to Pesach, you have to wait until Tzeis. Even the Taz admits that that really is true. The Pesach goes out of its way and insists on Laila. But it insists on Laila for Matzah, it insists on Laila for Korban Pesach, I'm sure in all of our homes. By the time we're going to get to Matzah, it's going to be Tzeisach HaKavim, even if we'll start earlier. But why do you have to wait until you make Kiddush? So one could argue, you know, the Trumas Hadeshin. Trumas Hadeshin writes that we recite in the Haggadah Bavur Zeh, V'shashesh Matzah Umar Monachim Lefanacha, meaning the window of time of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the same as Korban Pesach, is the same as the mitzvah of Matzah. Okay, but if that was the only difficulty, so I would argue, okay, see to it that you have some Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim after Pesach HaKavim. No, just like the Marshal writes, so have a Kazayis after Seis, so have a Kazayis of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim after Pesach HaKavim. You have to wait until you make Kiddush. Why exactly is that the case? And therefore, why is it that the Mechaber writes that in Inanam Kiddush, Ad Shetetzach? So here in Tafayin Beis, you have the following machlokas between the Magen Avram and the Taz. Magen Avram writes the following Kiddush, that just as Min HaTorah, Matz has to be after Tzeis, and just as Min HaTorah, Korban Pesach has to be after Tzeis, this is true when it comes to all of the mitzvahs of the Seder, even the mitzvahs of Rabbanan as well. Those mitzvahs have to be sandwiched within the Zman Achilas HaKarban, Seisach HaKavim, and according to Rabbi Zman Azariah, Katzos HaLayla. And one of the mitzvahs HaLayla is the mitzvah of Dalar Kosos. And therefore, Dalar Kosos is also dependent on the Zman of Pesach, the Zman of Matzah. And therefore, Dalar Kosos has to be after Seisach HaKavim. So therefore, Kiddush is the first of the Dalar Kosos. Therefore, Ein Omrim Kiddush. I would suggest, according to the Smagen Avram, two possible distinctions lahalacha. One nafkamina is as follows. Well, if this really is true, that that's why the first kos has to be after Tzeis, I would argue a chiddush, and that is that the last kos then has to be before Chatzos. After all, for the very same reason, all of the kosos have to be during the window of time of the Achilas HaKarban. Oh, you'll tell me, for example, Tosus writes in the Gilan HaKabbalah, that you should see to it that you eat the afikomen before Chatzos? Well, of course. Not only do you have to eat the afikomen before Chatzos, you're going to eat the afikomen under the wire. No, no, no. You have to eat the afikomen, and you have to have the kos of berachas hamazon, and you have to have the kos of hamel before chatzos as well. True, that perhaps Tosos accentuates afikomen. Some Rishonim assume afikomen is part of the Iker mitzvah of matzah, but it's not just afikomen. According to the Magen Avraham, you would have to have the last kos before chatzos, just as the Mechaber writes, you have to have the first kos after Seisach Kochavim, which true of kos 1 is true of kos 4, maybe a second afkamina as well. Let's assume, for example, a person who by mistake made Kiddush a little bit early. So you tell that person, you know what, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you have to wait until Seis in order to make Kiddush. So the person asks you very simply, so what exactly do I do now? What exactly is the problem? The problem, Magen Avraham writes, is the mitzvah Dalar Kosos. If I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dalar Kosos, so what exactly do I do? Do I have to make Kiddush again? Let's assume, for example, the Sugim Sachem Kufes, that you should drink the Kosos Beheseba. And the Rosh points out, Heseba is Le'ikuva. If you don't do Heseba, you have to go ahead and repeat. So the person made Kiddush, and he drank the Kosos of Yayin without Heseba. So I'll tell that person, you know what, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of kosos, because the Rosh writes, you have to recline when drinking. So the person asks me, so what do I do? Should I repeat Kiddush again? You'll tell the person, no, 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 don't repeat Kiddush again. Just now drink another kos, beheseima. In other words, in order to be mekayim, the mitzvah of dalet kosos, you don't require Kiddush. If what is driving this halachi is dalet kosos, that does not necessarily mean that Kiddush must be repeated. One could argue, according to the Magen Avraham, the same Kiddush, then, if a person, for whatever reason, made Kiddush a little bit early, I wouldn't require that he has to repeat Kiddush. Kiddush can be made early, as it is on Shabbos, and as it is typically on Yantif. Here, it's because of the mitzvah of Dalar Kosos, so you know what, I'll tell him, wait a few minutes until say, so now, drink the Kos, in order to fulfill the first of the Dalar Kosos. It doesn't require repetition of Kiddush. The Taz disagrees. If you look in the Taz and Tafayim Beis, when the Taz explains that Mechaber, that you have to wait until Seisach Kochavim for Kiddush, the Taz writes that, no, this is not because of the broadest halacha, that all the mitzvahs halayla are doing the Zman of Matzah, the Zman of Achilas Karan Pesach, but rather, a very different reason. The Prima Gonim explains the Taz as follows, that Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda. Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda. What does Kiddush HaMakom Suda mean? So, it means, number one, that Kiddush has to be in the place of Suda. I'll make Kiddush here, and then I'll go across the street and have my Suda there. We'll argue, no, 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 that's not called Kiddush HaMakom Suda. You know what? I'll come back to the very seat that I made Kiddush 2 hours later. I'll make Kiddush, and a couple hours later I'll have my Suda. You'll tell me, no, it's Shihu Yizman. An unnecessary lapse of time also is an issue of Kiddush B'makom Suda. That Kiddush B'makom Suda means that the Kiddush has to be in the very place of the Suda, as well as that there can't be an unnecessary lapse, a Shihu Yizman. The Taz writes a further Kiddush, which is not so clear. And that is, Kiddush B'makom Suda mandates that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush at the time that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Suda. Well, to make Kiddush at a time that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Suda, that is not called Kiddush B'makom Suda. And therefore the Taz writes the following Kiddush. What is the Suda Salayla to say tonight? The answer is Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror is after Seis. That's what the Torah tells us. So therefore, to make Kiddush at a time that you cannot engage in Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, that is not called Kiddush B'makom Suda. That's the Kiddush that the Gemara writes, according to the Rambam. If that's true, I would suggest that one could disagree with my two differences of the Magen Avraham. According to the Magen Avraham, look, all the mitzvah has to be during the time of Matzah and Karan Pesach. So what is true of Kos 1 is true of Kos 4, not necessarily true according to the Taz. What is true of Kos 1, that it has to be after Tzeis, is because of Kiddush B'makom Suda. What about Kos 4? Maybe Kos 4 could be after Chatzos. And therefore, have the afikomen before chatzos alayla, the last kos. Maybe there is no halacha that all the mitzvos, even the mitzvos drabanan, have to be during the window of matzah and during the time period of Korban Pesach. Maybe not. Maybe this is uniquely true when it comes to the first kos. And now, kamina number two, if a person will go ahead and make kiddush early, so according to the Taz, that is not called kiddush b'makom suda. If a person makes kiddush shalom b'makom suda, shachnaf and simen reish ayin gimel, what would the person do? Drink another kos of yayin? No, 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 you're not yotzei kiddush. You have to repeat the kiddush again. So if a person were to make kiddush early, and that is not called kiddush b'makom suda, so therefore, you would have to repeat kiddush. It wouldn't be enough just simply to drink another kos at a later window of time. No, that's the kiddush of the Taz's view. This kiddush of the Taz, that kiddush b'makom suda requires, you can only fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush b'zman harayu l'suda. Kiddush. That's what the Taz maintains. So that's true. That chumrah that I mentioned of the Marshal. The Marshal says, during this time of year, Siman Reish Tzadi Aleph, you can daven Ma'ariv early, you can make Kiddush early, no, the Zmiris, Divrei Torah, see to it that the Suda extends, in order to have a Kazayah Sefas after Tzeis, because the Pasuk says, Echlu Hayom, the Taz disagrees. Of course the Taz disagrees. Because if the Marshal is true, that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Suda during this window of time because the Pasuk says, Ichlu Hayom, you wouldn't be able to make Kiddush during this time as well. Because you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush at a time that one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Suda. That would be Kiddush Shalom B'makom Suda. And therefore, if the Gemara tells us that during the Zman HaTosefes one can fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, according to the Taz, that must mean that during the Zman HaTosefes, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Suda as well. But when it comes to Suda, doesn't the Pasuk say, Ichlu Hayom? So that's what the Taz writes. Apparently you see that when you're Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, Havikalayla V'machar Mamish, the day is transformed, the new day has begun. It is considered to be Ichlu Hayom. And if it's considered to be Ichlu Hayom, that means you can be Yotzei the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. That means that on Shmini Atzeres you can begin Yom Tov early and Hoshana Rabbah has come to an end. But you know what, on Shavuos it's problematic because if you begin early and the day is transformed, therefore that encroaches, that infringes on Tmimos Tihyena, and in such a case, therefore you have to wait until Tzeis HaKochavim. That is exactly the Chiddush of the Taz Shita. That in all those instances, Tosefes means that one converts. One is able to transform the day itself. Rav Zolti writes an interesting chiddush. Let's assume, for example, a person is mosif mechol hakodesh, he daven, let's say, early, and an announcement is made at the end of davening on Leil Shabbos, don't forget when you get home to count Sfira, because we didn't count in Shul because it's too early, and all of a sudden you remember, Sfira, I forgot to count last night, I didn't count Thursday night. Can you count Thursday night Sfira during that window of Tosefes Shabbos? One could argue that according to the Marshal, yes. Because even though you've begun Shabbos, but the day remains intact, and therefore one can go ahead and do so, perhaps one could argue that according to the Taz, that is not true. After all, the new day has begun, and therefore maybe one cannot count Thursday night Sfira without a bracha to allow you to continue to count. We assume the Shachrites in Yeraday and Simen Kuf Tzarivav, that one can go ahead and do so during the Zman HaTosefes. The Shachrites, the Kiddush, the Tosefes doesn't impact on a sequence of counting of days. He writes this in Hilchos Tehillim and Kuf Tzarivav, that even if a woman accepts upon herself Shabbos, that window of time is still considered to be Friday when it comes to calculating days. The day calculation is not impacted by Tosefes Shabbos, and the Shachrites, and the same is true when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer as well. But an interesting issue, to what extent do we assume that the calendar date is affected by the times of the Yemei HaSfira? But again, this is an interesting distinction, that when it comes to Shavuos, that instance of the Yemei HaSfira and the possibility of Tosefes, right, that Kiddush of the Taz. One of the elements, of course, that we commemorate during the Yom Tov of Shavuos is the fact that even though the Torah doesn't say so expressly, But Shavuos, of course, is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. There's a fascinating Kliyakar that writes that, you know, that Rosh Hashanah is considered to be a form of the Yom Hadin, a time of Tshuva, and yet the Torah never tells us expressly that association. Just as Kliyakar writes, the Torah doesn't tell us that Shavuos is what we know, we recite in Kiddush and Davening, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, but Kliyakar writes that Kiddush, that the reason is in order to emphasize tshuva. If tshuva is not once a year on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, if the Torah would go out of its way and tell us that, you know, that this is the day of tshuva, I would argue, okay, today yes, but every other time certainly not. The mitzvah and the chiyuv of tshuva, the shavta an Hashem Elokecha, the yizvadu and the like, right, that applies, right, each and every day of the year. And therefore the Torah never relegates a single day for the mitzvah of tshuva. The Kliyakar is the same thing as Shemana comes to Zman Matan Torah Seinu. After all, Ashanochi Mitzavcha Hayom, that Bechol Yom V'Yom Yiyu Beinecha Kechadoshim, the act of Kabbalah Satorah is something that we experience each and every day. The Ramban writes that Berachas HaTorah that we recite is a Berachas Hodah for Kabbalah Satorah that one is obligated to recite daily Min HaTorah. And therefore the Torah doesn't emphasize, right, that unique role of Zman Matan Torah Seinu limited to a particular day, and perhaps that explains the absence of that association. I've often mentioned that there are few makoros when it comes to Bar Mitzvah, right, in Chumash and even throughout Shas and Rishonim, few makoros regarding Bar Mitzvah. But it is somewhat surprising that the Torah does not emphasize this more explicitly. Perhaps the answer based on the Kliyakar is as follows. That experience of Kabbalah Samach B'Shamayim and Kabbalah Samitzvahs and one who celebrates the fact that he's Yigila Mitzvahs, that's not relegated to one day in your life. That's merely the beginning. But the Chol Yom V'Yom, there is that type of acceptance, that reaffirmation. And therefore, just as the Torah doesn't mention that role of Rosh Hashanah or of Shavuos, perhaps the same thing is true in that regard as well. One of the elements that we stress in terms of Kabbalah Satorah, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, is the special mitzvah of having a suga on the Yontif of Shavuos. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim and Daf Samaches, the Gemara writes the following chiddush, that there are two psukim that seem to contradict each other, that teaches us how is it that we celebrate the Kedusha Sayom of Shabbos or that of Yantif. On the one hand, the Torah tells us that Atzeres L'Hashem Elokecha, that Atzeres is a time we devote to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah also tells us that Atzeres Tehiya Lachem, that it's a time of Lachem. And the Gemara tells us, how is it that you balance these two requirements of Lachem and Lachem? The Gemara writes a fascinating machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes that this machlokes is essential. Because whenever you have shnei ksuvim achishim zezer, you have two psukim that contradict, you always look for the kosov hashlishi shachri b'nei. Therefore, you look for an indicator as to when to apply pasuk A and when to apply pasuk B. What happens if there is no kosov hashlishi? So the Torah says, do A, do B, without telling us that, well, under this circumstance, A, under that circumstance, B. So how do you resolve? So apparently that's the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua says, well, if the Torah gives us two different approaches, without that type of resolution, it means either or. Options, either or. And therefore, O, Kul Hashem, O, Kul Hashem. That's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says that, no, if the Torah tells you both, and the Torah doesn't tell us, well, apply one here and apply the other there, it means that both must be accommodated. Not either or, but chatzi l'ashem v'chatzi l'achem. It's a fascinating machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Is the Torah telling us either or do we assume that both must be accounted for? The Gemara describes that Rabbi Eliezer, typically on Yantif, used to give shir from early morning and on, because Rabbi Eliezer maintained, well, look, if the Torah gives you a choice of Lashem and Lachem, one should opt for the Lashem. And therefore, the day of Yantif, according to Rabbi Eliezer, was one of Torah and Tefillah. Suda was very minimal, Suda was secondary. Then Kul Hashem, Kul Hashem, that was the experience of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Eliezer. You know, the Gemara describes the Sugin Beitza, that Rabbi Eliezer used to go ahead and say Shir, and the Talmidim used to kind of slip out the door. You know, the Gemara tells us there were five groups of Talmidim, and as the day went on and on and on, gradually the crowd would diminish. And interestingly, that Rabbi Eliezer, I wasn't as disturbed at the first set that left, but as the day progressed and more of the Talmidim left, so Rabbi Eliezer became exceedingly agitated at that fact. So it's a little bit unusual, but Rabbi Eliezer became more distressed with the later groups than with the earlier groups. It's not just simply because as the day went on, the crowd got smaller and smaller and smaller, so it was more noticeable. The Stifler writes an interesting chiddush, and that is that, you know, and this generally is true, and that is that we don't always have the same expectations for everyone. Rabbi Eliezer did not have the same expectations for all of his Talmidim. You know, there were certain Talmidim that left at the very beginning of the Shir, okay? But the most loyal Talmidim were the ones who stayed. And when they left, right, that is what distressed Rabbi Eliezer the most. No, because after all, the bar was heightened for them. The expectation was considered to be that which was even greater, and as such. So therefore, the Gemara writes that Rabbi Eliezer felt so terrible, because the ideal experience of Yom Tov is Kul Hashem, Limud HaTorah. What greater means to experience the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov? And then the Gemara tells us something quite surprising, that Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hakol Modin Batzeres De'Inan Amilachem, that everyone agrees, even Rabbi Eliezer, that that's not true on Shavuos. When it comes to Shavuos, everyone agrees that a person has to have a festa suda. The same Rabbi Eliezer who would sit and learn each and every Yom Tov on Yom Tov of Shavuos would take a break and would have a special Sudas Yom Tov. Why is Shavuos different? Why is it that on Shavuos there's a chi of suda, the commands of Shavuos? Because Yom Shenitzna Bo Torah, Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's quite unusual, no? That Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and that is why it is inappropriate to sit and learn the entire day, but rather one is obligated to break and to have a Suda. That's what the Gemara tells us, a Chiddush, no? That is the practice of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Poshav Shat in that Gemara is based on what the Ramban writes in Parshas Mishpatim, the aftermath of Kabbalah Satorah. The Torah tells us, Vayechezu es Elokim, Vayokhu liishtu, that Bnei Yisrael perceived Hashras Hashchina, and they ate and they drank. What was the purpose of that Achila in Shtia? The Ramban quotes a Medrash from Shir HaShirim Rabbah, the Ramban and that Pasuk, Amar Rabbi Lozer, Mikan Shosin Mishten Lagomar Shal Torah. That one is obligated to celebrate, to have a festive meal, to mark Kabbalah Satorah. When a person receives the Torah Sashem, it is not enough that a person just simply engages in Limud HaTorah, but Vayochlu Vayishtu, a person is obligated to have a festive Suda Soda. Part of the Suda that we have on Shavuos is not merely a Suda Siyantif as the mitzvah of Oneg Yantif, but it is, in a very literal sense, a Suda Sada for the experience of Kabbalah's Hatorah. And if this was Knesset Yisrael did at Mamet Har Sinai, so therefore, that Amar Rabbi Eliezer HaKol Modim Batzeres to be Imam Elachem, that one is obligated to go ahead and do so. After all, Kabbalah's Hatorah represented that time that we became obligated in the Torah Hashem, we attained a Kedushas Yisrael, we became a Bar Chiyuv in mitzvos, and as such, one is obligated to do so. The Marshal writes in the Vakam and Perek Zayin, that's one of the requirements of a bar mitzvah, a sudas bar mitzvah. Because after all, Mikan Shostin Mishke, but Gomer Shel Torah, one becomes obligated in the mitzvah Hashem, it's a personal opportunity of Kabbalah Sator, one is obligated to do so. The Gemara writes in Kedusha Neflamet Aleph that the Gemara was debating whether a Summa, one who is blind, is obligated, right, in mitzvahs. Rabbi Yehuda, right, maintained that a Summa is potter min ha-mitzvah. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yosef was there, and he was a Sagi Nahar, so Rabbi Yosef commented that man leimalon de ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that you tell me lach is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and I am obligated in mitzvah savidne yamatav l'rabbanon. And I'll make a great suda simply at the awareness that I am obligated now in the mitzvah sashem. That form of a kabbalah satara, obligation mitzvah sashem, that requires celebration, not merely in terms of limud hatorah, but in the sense of kolatzmosai tomarna, that even in the physical sense, a person is obligated to celebrate as well, and that is the basis of the special suda that we have during the Yantif Shavuos. It's true when it comes to Knesset Yisrael at Mamad Har Sinai. It's true when it comes to Yantif Shavuos, perhaps the case of Bar Mitzvah, that's the minhag of having a suda that accompanies a siyum on a mesecha, that mikan shos nishta, the gomer shel Torah. That's what the Marshal writes. If you look in Shiltos, Shiltos writes a fascinating finish, Shiltos Samach Zayin on Purim, where the Shiltos writes that why is it that there is a mitzvah of Sudas Purim, and you don't find that there is a parallel mitzvah of a Sudas Chanukah? Why on Purim is there a mitzvah that one has to have a Sudah? Perhaps the most known answer is what the Levush writes. The Levush writes that we mark the celebration of Chanukah in Purim based on the quality of the nes of Chanukah in Purim. When it comes to Purim, the threat was physical annihilation, and therefore we commemorate physically by having a Sudah. When it comes to Chanukah, the threat was one of acculturation, and the nes was one of a pach shemen, and therefore we commemorate with the mitzvah of hadlokas aneiros. But if you look in Shultos Samach Zayin, the Shultos writes that now what was the response of Knesset Yisrael to the nisim of Purim? The Gemara writes in Shabbos, Tapeches, that's the meaning of the pasuk of Kimu the Kiblo Hayehudim Aleihem Valzarim. In a word, that Purim was a time of Kabbalah Satara, Hadar Kibluhu, the Medrash Tanhuma points out that the Kabbalah Satara that we experienced at Mamad Har Sinai had a certain element of coercion. On the one hand, Masav Yishma. On the other hand, Kofle and Har Kegigis. We're forced to accept the Torah Hashem. How do you resolve that difficulty of Masav Yishma and Kofle and Har Kegigis? So the Medrash Tanhuma is found and in Parshas Noach and Oz Gimel writes that there's a difference between Torah Shebichsav as opposed to Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav was Nasav Nishma, but the rigor of the Torah Shebalpeh, that was an element of coercion of Kofaleim Harkegigis. Kofaleim Harkegigis. And therefore, that was not true in the time of Achashverosh. That was a Kabbalah Sator of even Torah Sheba'al Peh on one's own volition. There was no element of Kfiyah that was involved. And as such, we mark Purim as a time of Kabbalah Sator. So therefore, the Shultos writes, one is obligated to have a Suda. V'yechazu es Elokim, v'yochu v'yishtu. Sudas Purim is a function of Kabbalah Satara, just as the Suda, when it comes to Shavuos itself. We always mark that type of simcha in order to indicate that that, in fact, is true. So therefore, again, the Suda is an indicator, right, of the very essence, the Kedusha Sayon, of this Yantif of Shavuos, of Zman Matan, Torah Seinu. And therefore, Hakom Odin Batzeres, Debi Inan Nami Lachem. That's the Midrash Tanhuma's resolution to that difference between Nasa v'nishma as opposed to Kofin Harkegiris, Torah Shavitzav, as opposed to the case of Torah Shavaltav. Perhaps one could suggest an alternate approach, and that is, it's not really either or, that Nasa v'nishma applies to this element, and Kofin Kegigis applies to that, but a certain realization that both elements, in fact, are necessary. See, we once discussed the following issue, and that is that when it comes to our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's unique in the following sense, that the greatest accolade one could give, Moshe Rabbeinu described, Lo kein avdi Moshe, b'cho beisi nemanu, be an eved of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, avdus normally is something that a person avoids. the plight of an Eved is not considered to be that which is an ideal. The Mishnah writes in Gittin Daf Yud Aleph that to be Meshachar an Eved, he doesn't have to be present. I can give the get shichra to someone else, and we apply the principle of Zachan Ladam Shlobachanav. It's a schus for an Eved to become a Ben Chorin. That's true when you're dealing with a Vasar Vadam. But not being an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being an Eved of Hashem is considered to be like the greatest praise. That is something that one yearns to be as Moshe Rabbeinu, the Lokein of the Moshe. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see, normally we don't associate Avdus with Ahava. No, we don't assume that that is the case. No, well, we associate Avdus with a sense of Yira, but normally not with a full sense of Ahava. But yet, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that certainly is not true. And both elements are felt when it comes to Nasa v'Nishma. How do you understand the concept of Nasa v'Nishma? It's interesting. If you look in Rashi, Rashi writes in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches, what is Nasa v'Nishma? Kederech sha'osim me'ava. Rashi writes, Kederech sha'osim me'ava. Nasa v'Nishma is a manifestation of Ava. You know, rationally, a person, for example, is about to enter into a deal. You know, you read the contract, right, very, very carefully. You don't say yes before you're aware of what exactly you're getting yourself into. No, sometimes when a person is taken, right, emotionally or with Ava, a person will say yes even before, right, understanding all the fine print, all the detail. No, it's almost an impulsive, right, response. And therefore, Rashi understands that Nasa v'Nishma is Kederach Sha'os in Mi'avah. And if you look at the Svarna on that Pasuk, Nasa v'Nishma, Parshas Mishpatim, you know what the Svarna writes? That just as an Eved who is Mishamesh as Rabba Amanash L'Lakawa Pras. No? Nasa v'Nishma is Avdus. Avdus. Interesting, no? In Eved, the Adon mandates. So the Eved thinks and considers, should I not? If a person is an Eved, right, he is obligated in Nasa v'Nishma. So Nasa v'Nishma, it's interesting. The Sforna writes is an indicator of Avdus, and Rashi writes it's an indication of Kedera Sha'osin Me'ava. Those are not contradictions. For a Basav Adam, that's a contradiction. But for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avdus and Ava, right, they certainly go hand in hand. That is the uniqueness of our relationship. I had one mention, goes back a couple of years when it comes to the Eved Nirza. Now the plight of the Eved, that you go ahead and pierce the ear of the Eved who wants to remain an Eved. Now he's an Eved Ivri. At the end of 6 years, he's allowed to go free, and all of a sudden he decides to remain as an Eved. And the Torah tells us that we insist on piercing the ear. Why in the world is the ear pierced? The Gemara has two possibilities. Machlokas Tanaim. It must be that something that individual, the Eved, heard, but he failed to internalize. So what did he hear? The Gemara has a couple of possibilities. One is, look, the Pasuk said, "Lo signo, you shouldn't steal." And how in the world did you become an Eved? The Holav Zeved Gona. So therefore, Teiratz. So therefore, his ear is pierced. Good. Another possibility in the Gemara is no. Ozen Shoshama. Kili bnei Yisrael avadim v'avadim na'avadim. You're not supposed to be an Eved to Abbas of Adam, an Eved to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden he opted into Avdus, therefore the ear is pierced. These are two options. Abig nafkamima, no? How do you become an Eved? One of two ways. One possibility is Mokhur es Atzmo. You sell yourself as an Eved. Another possibility is Mokhurhu Bezdin. Mokhurhu Bezdin means you stole, and you were caught, and you can't pay back. Bezdin will sell you into slavery to pay back that debt, no? So, very simply, if the reason for Ritzia is Ozen Shoshama Lo Signo, it only applies to Machru Bezdin. If it's Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, then it applies to all cases. The case of Mocher Es Atzmo, it's not just two reasons, it's a fundamental difference between the two. But the Maral Diskin is bothered by the following issue. Whether it's reason A or whether it's reason B, Ozen Shoshama Lo Signo, Ozen Shoshama Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, the following difficulty, one word, no, that is timing. No, the timing of the Ritzia is difficult. No? Why are you piercing there the Eved? Well, either because he opted into Avdus or because he stole. When did he steal? When did he opt into avodas? No, when did all of this occur? So not now, years ago. So we're punishing now, years later, because years earlier this is what you did? How do you understand the timing? How do you understand that case? Maror Diskin only addresses it for one half, and that is Ozen Shoshana Lo Signo. So Maror Diskin writes something which is quite poignant. He writes the following, that a person steals, and he's sold into avdus. You know what? The avdus is supposed to be an onesh, a kapara, for the fact that he stole. Okay. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nur Rachman Utzlam, gives a person an onesh, a measure of yisurim, you know, a person has the sense to internalize that, not to kind of realize that this is an onesh for that. What exactly did this Eved do? No? The Eved took that which was an onesh, and the Eved all of a sudden perceived that to be an ideal. No? The onesh is over, the sentence is done, and all of a sudden the Eved wants to remain an Eved. That indicator that he wants to remain an Eved, doesn't that demonstrate that what was supposed to be an onesh was not perceived at all as being an onesh, but all of a sudden the misguided Eved sees that as an idyllic existence. So you know what now? It's necessary to punish the Eved again for that very Aveir. That's what Maror Diskin writes. And that's why the Ritzia is done now. It's a pretty profound lesson Maror Diskin writes. Maror Diskin doesn't write this in terms of this application, but you know, that we daven in our Shmoneh Esrei and Yantif, no, umipnei chataeinu galinu me'aretzeinu. That galus is an onesh. Galus is an onesh. But you know what? Sometimes, b'chasdei Hashem, we can thrive in galus. We don't always see it as being such a dire onesh. No, and as such, we risk that plight of Eved Ivri. When we, right, in a misinformed fashion, kind of start seeing that which is an onesh as being that which is an ideal, then it doesn't attain the same level of kapara as otherwise it would. And a person always has to be mindful of that. No, the galus is not something that is an idyllic existence. We have to be very careful not to be guilty of that plight of the Eved Ivri. What about the second half? What happens if you assume that the reason for Ritzia is Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim? You opted in to be an Eved, terrible. And therefore, it's appropriate that your ear is pierced. Now, you pierce the ear now. Why in the world do you pierce the ear now? He sold himself as an Eved years ago. Rashi Weiss once pointed out the following answer, and that is, why did he sell himself into Avdus? Well, the Torah tells us why. Why would a person decide to become an Eved? The Pasuk says very simply, Ki yamoch achicha. This guy was desperate. He was desperate. He was down and out, right? He didn't have any assets, right? And therefore, not appropriate but understandable that the person out of desperation sells himself into avodah. Okay. So that's the plight of an Eved. All of a sudden, he serves as an Eved for these 6 years. And he decides to remain. Why is he remaining an Eved? Here the Torah doesn't say, Yamach Achicha. Here the Torah tells us, you know why he is remaining an Eved? Ahavti es Adoni. He is remaining an Eved all of a sudden because he loves this existence. He's an Eved Machmas Ava. Avdus and Ava, that's what the Torah tells us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Avdus machmas dochat. The fact that a person out of desperation to become an Eved, okay. The person can fuse, can mesh Avdus and Ava, that is Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim. That is only true of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that is why at that time, the Ritzia is in fact done. Right, that perhaps is the confluence of Nasa v'Nishma, right, and Kofem HaKegigis. The Nasa v'Nishma, Rashi writes, indicates that element of Avdus, that element of Ava, Rashi writes. And Kofem HaKegigis means there's a measure of coercion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mandates. And it's fascinating, the Gemara writes, in Yevamos and Daf Memvav, Let's assume, for example, a person becomes an Eved Kanani. So he has to undergo Gerus. Gerus not L'Shem Yisrael, Gerus to become an Eved Kanani. The Gemara describes the process of Gerus. Fascinating. The Gemara says the Ger goes to Mikvah. And when the Ger emerges from the Mikvah, so the Adon holds a Kli over the head of the Eved Kanani, demonstrating that now he is considered to be an Eved who has an Adon. That's what the Gemara writes. That's Gerus of an Eved. Now that the Adon suspends a Kli over the head of the Eved at the time of the Gerus. That's exactly, you know, Kafalehim Har Kegigis, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did at that time. This is Avdus, but Avdus Machmas Ava. And just to conclude, there's a Chiddush that Tosus writes. The Tosus is found in Menachos and Av Mem Gimel. Mem Gimel. Where Tosus points out that there is some unique element that applies to Tzitzis. What is Tefillin supposed to represent? And what is Tzitzis supposed to represent? So, Tefillin always represents an adornment, a pe'er. The Pasuk in Yechezkel, pe'ercha chavosh alecha. An avel, right, the Yom Rishon, is not allowed to put on Tefillin because Tefillin is considered to be an adornment. Tefillin is considered to be a pe'er. Now, Tefillin is, right, an indicator that we're a ben melech. And what is the purpose of a talis? Tosus writes that the Gemara refers to the talis and the tzitzis as being a chosam shel tit. Literally, it means, right, a seal of clay. What does that mean? So Tosus explains that when a person is an eved, it's appropriate for him to wear a certain type of clothing because the clothing of the eved indicates that he belongs to, right, this master. In other words, that a talis is a beggar of avdus. So tefillin is considered to be a pe'er, a beged of a melech. And talis is considered to be a beged of avdus. And therefore, the talis and tefillin represent those two motives. That on the one hand, we're a ben melech, but on the other hand, as well, that we are an eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps the apparent, the superficial irony is as follows. Am I obligated to put on tefillin? Absolutely, yes. You can't weasel your way out of tefillin. No, you absolutely must put on tefillin. That's a mitzvah chiyuvis. But no, what about when it comes to talis? No chiyuv, no chiyuv. If I decide to wear a beged of dalet kanfos, then I am obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. I can easily opt out. I don't wear a beged of dalet kanfos. There's no mitzvah of tzitzis. So somewhat ironic. But no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from us hanachas tefillin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu suggests, right, the mitzvah of tzitzis, as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that we see ourselves as being, right, a ben melech, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavyocho requests that we see ourselves as an eved, but we have to initiate. If we don't where the beggar dog comes from, there's no such chiyuv. There's no such chiyuv. That's because this avdus is kederach sha'osim me'ava. This is not a mandated ava of yira, but rather this is, right, the type of avdus which is kederach sha'osim me'ava. That's exactly why hapti asadoni, that encroaches on our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that is the relationship of the Nasev and Ishma. The Rashi writes is Ava with Kaflin Harkigigis, which is an indicator of Avdus, and as pointed out, the Sfarno writes that you find both elements even in Nasev and Ishma. There are two people who say Nasev and Ishma, an Eved and an Omid. No, those are the ones who will say Nasev, right, even without full comprehension of what it is that they are expected to do. So that's what we celebrate during the time of Kabbalah Sashar. It means a time that we become obligated in mitzvos, a time that we attain a Kedushas Yisrael, the Gemara writes in Krisus Dates, the entire formula of Gerus is based on Kabbalah Sashar, and the Simcha that we experience during the Sud of Shuas is based on the time of Yom Shenitna Batar Yisrael, and those two elements. To be able to experience the element of Simcha, the element of Avdus, because in dealing with our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are not at all contradictory. That Nasa V'Nishma exemplifies, as Rashi writes, right, that type of avdus of Gedera She'osim Me'av.
That people can sign name, email address, phone number.